Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, December 16, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you are listening in over Rumble or YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab, top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of John. Tonight we'll be reading, I think it's chapter 6. I may have done this last week, but that's what I got set up. We'll read through chapter 6 by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions tonight?
We have a couple questions, John.
Okay.
The first one is two parts. First part is, I have attached the non-statutory cover sheet. I know I need to fill this out when I am moving my case for cause from the county court to the federal court. So my first question is with regards to the docket number in the top right-hand corner. Do I use the docket number the court clerk assigned when the original file on demand was sent, or is the docket number going to be assigned at the federal court level?
Right, yeah, that docket number comes from the federal court level. Of course, well, if you're moving your case for cause, does he say what he's moving? He's moving his case for cause, or
no, it didn't have any dates on it.
Okay, probably was, but in any event, if you're moving it for cause, really, there should be no charge at all to make that move, and you should be able to get money. I mean, you should be able to get a docket number. And if you move it into the state court, same thing. And you might want to try it into the state court first. I don't know, maybe he's coming in from the state court, moving it into the federal court. Unfortunately, they of course, charge us, I think right now the federal, I think it's $405 or $410 or something like that. It's $400, I think. And hopefully soon we're not going to have to pay that. We've got some, the papers that we sent to the Supreme Court have not returned, and it's been quite some time now. It's been, goodness, let me think, it's got to be seven, 8 weeks, maybe more. Yeah, I think it is more. In any event, I guess we'll have to look at the paper to see what the date that we had on it, and you can find that paper here, the presentment with an order to the United States Supreme Court. We also did an addendum to that also. But we'll talk a little bit about that shortly. Okay, the second part of that question?
Okay, the second part is, I have attached the affidavit of the default form. Near the bottom, there's a place for a seal. Whose seal is this? The county court's?
Well, the word seal is good on its own. It's sufficient. If you create your own seal, which you could do that through Staples or Office Max, or I'm sure at various other places. On my seal, I have New York Court of Record. Let me see. Hang on a second. I remember I got quite a few seals, but the one that I have, my own personal seal. Let me take a quick look at that. I know in the center I put a date. And so I have New York Court of Record, Gracia. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but it's by the grace of God is what that is. Lex Natural, and then the year I was born, and in the center the word seal. Maybe I'll put that up on the page, I don't think I have one up on our page. We do have a copy of the seal for the Committees of Safety. But anyway, that's your own seal. Most people don't have a seal, but if you want to get a seal, again, I put my birth year on that. On the Committees of Safety, we put 1776 on that. But again, the word seal in itself is sufficient if you don't have a seal. All right. Next question on that.
Okay, this one is long. It says, John frequently mentions that the U.S. Constitution is for the people. However, contemporaneous exposition of that 1787 Constitution using Samuel Johnson's and Webster's 1828 dictionaries for the meanings of the words used at the time the founding documents were penned seems to show otherwise. In addition, the phrase of America is only in that document three times. Therefore, I've attached a PDF with links to the meaning of some of the words used at the time of the penning of the 1776 Declaration and the 1787 Constitution. and ask that you, John and Gerard and so forth, search the 1787 Constitution to confirm the lack of America being used for the purpose established, and present the PDF with the words used therein to the people on the call in a grand jury investigation style that will assist the people in a smooth transition into NLA activities and show that we, the people, have been dealing with since the beginning that has brought us to our current course of human events as was anticipated in 1776. Mm. Now, the bottom line, in constitutional law, statutes that contain ambiguous language are void for vagueness. The language of such laws is considered so obscure and uncertain that a reasonable person cannot determine from a reading what the law purports to command or prohibit. This statutory ambiguity deprives a person of the notice requirement of due process of law, and therefore renders the statute unconstitutional. West's Encyclopedia of American Law, 2nd edition, copyright 2008. The Gale Group, da 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 da.
Well, what statute is he talking about? Do you know? It seems that he's talking
any, about... He's just saying any statute that is so vague and so on.
Okay.
Is unenforceable, is not a law, is unconstitutional, and so on.
Right.
Okay. Then, starts in again, the 1776 Declaration of Independence, and it gives a link for that. And it starts, and I think what this is there are certain words that are put in bold that have definitions as defined in the two dictionaries that she mentioned. And I think she wants you to go through and look up each and every one and then substitute it into the actual document to see if it changes the meaning of any of it. It's not something you can do here on a call, John.
Right. Yeah, and I'm still not really too sure. It sounds like they're talking about potentially two different constitutions, one in 1787 and one in 1789. Is that
never,
what you're saying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Never mentions the 1789 one.
Okay, but it does sound like he's talking about, or she, or I don't know if he or she, but well, I'm not sure what they're talking about there. Then, you know, in 1787... the Constitution was pretty much where they wanted it to be, and that's what you pretty much read. Of course, then we had the Anti-Federalist Papers, which focused in a lot on the Bill of Rights, particularly. It was concerning. There were some problems in the Constitution that had to be clarified, and they clarified it ultimately through the Bill of Rights, because the Bill of Rights is the measuring stick of all law and anything. Anything that violates one of our unalienable rights is null and void. And now there may have been some addition added in the 89, particularly. Let me take a quick look, see if I can find something that might have been added in 89. I know they came up with, I think it was 12 Bill of Rights, and they ended up with 10. And what they did was that they consolidated a couple of them together. So that's pretty much what they were looking to do. But it was the later debate, which is the Anti-Federalist Papers, that really focused in on, that brought us the Bill of Rights. And again, it might have added a few things. I'm just looking through the Constitution real quick to see if I can find something that might have been added in, which really was restrictions, if anything. And I'm not seeing anything at the moment that I can really put my finger on. All right, anyway. The 1787, some people have talked about that, making it a different constitution from 89, and I've never seen one that's different. And I've challenged people to bring a copy of that if they have one, and I would try to compare it to see what kind of changes might be. But again, I think there might have been some changes, which was just adding some restrictions. So that's all I can say on that. I don't know what else to say about that paper, that question.
That is the last question.
Okay. By the way, let me open up the queue here. Anybody wants to get into the queue? It's star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone. If you got an app or browser, then it's just, you know, clicking on the button, I guess, that gets you into the queue. Not sure. What does it say there? Is there anybody here that has an app that gives you a button, enter the queue or something of that nature? Anybody know?
I never came in that way.
Yeah, me either. All right, well, there should be a button if you're on that. All right, we've been speaking about this for a couple of weeks, quite maybe a month and a half now, concerning the presentment with an order to the United States Supreme Court, which seems to have stuck. It's there. And I do know that the Supreme Court made a ruling recently. I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was 9-0. Anybody aware of that? What that might have been? I'm trying to think. That's what it was. Oh, it was on the tip of my tongue here.
It wasn't.
Oh, they agreed. There was agreement that it was lawful for illegal aliens to be sent back. So, and it was 9-0. I was really surprised. Wow. So, that sounds like pretty good news. Again, if anybody's got a question, get into the queue. I do want to look at a couple of things. We did do an addendum to the grand jury presentment. Anybody wants to read it, it's here. I know we've read a couple of paragraphs maybe in here. I think we did anyway. It's a little too long to read, so I'm not going to read it. It's 10 pages, but for anybody that wants to read it. Now, there was a couple other papers that we did send in recently, and really for education. And I sent it out with a cover sheet. This last one I sent out was December 16th, which is today. Just went into the mail today. And it references America was founded upon Christianity, and there's a memorandum of law attached. It's 6 pages. I'm not going to read that. But I will read just the message that's on this front page. These are all the individuals we sent it to, which is pretty much all the individuals that we sent copies to when we filed the presentment and an order to the United States Supreme Court. And the purpose of this paper and a couple other papers, we sent papers, let's see, there was one we sent on, where is that? And maybe I don't have it open right now. There was one we sent that was on parties. And then there was another one. We did send a page with that one, I think. We sent an extra page, which really gives the mission statement of National Liberty Alliance. And again, the reason I'm sending it to these people is trying to educate them. I never hear them talking about common law or natural law. I never hear them talking about the fact that the courts, they do talk about the courts being corrupt and problem. The problem is they're civil law courts. So they're really chancery courts is what they are, which is unlawful. That is not the law of the land. It is destructive to the law of the land. And a lot of these people have a law background, so they're difficult to talk to. Hopefully they'll be woken up. People without a law background seem to really receive a lot of the papers that we put together, the memorandums of law, a lot quicker and easier because they haven't been polluted with, Bar Association's teachings on the law. And even though our papers are so full of quotes from our founding fathers, full of quotes from the United States Supreme Court, and even different statutes that refer back to bringing us back under the common law. Lots of cases, particularly though with the Supreme Court that we've put in over the years, a lot of rulings that really make it clear that we are a natural law republic, and that means we're under natural law and we're not under civil law. Civil law is repugnant to a constitution, repugnant to us. But here's the message I put on this paper. It's only a paragraph or two. It's two paragraphs, so I'm going to read it. And again, this is for educational purposes for these people, and that's why I'm sending them out. Like I said, this is the third one, and we may send some more out. Of course, with the paper to the United States Supreme Court, which we sent to all of these individuals also, I believe there were 21 points, which was really kind of memorandums inside the paper itself, showing all of the different problems that are with the courts and the solutions of the court. So again, if anybody wants to read that, it's on our front page. I'll put this paper and the other papers that we filed also up on the front page, probably under the same area, right in here, general area. Okay. And again, we sent the addendum to the grand jury to presentment, so that was a pretty good paper also. Matter of fact, that might have been, let's see what the topic was on that. Sovereignty, jurisdiction, law, and due process. Okay. And so that went to all of these individuals also. So hopefully they're getting enough information, and we've, you know, we have a lot of footnotes in here and quotes and all the reference points as far as the footnotes are concerned, which should really start to change these people's mind, because we do need their support. And maybe we can get some financial support at some point in time, because we really have to go professional in order to accomplish the goals at this point that we really would like to accomplish. You know, we are building committees of safety. Let me shut this off. We are building committees of safety throughout the United States, and it's been a while since I looked to see how many committees of safety we have. We do need people to make contact with these people to make sure that we can offer them a lot of information, make sure they're on the right page and we're all on the same page. So right now it appears that we have 193 committees of safety in process. Some of them, of course, have been developed in its different points in development anyway. But let me get back to this paper and just read this one message on the cover sheet. We the people did not give Congress or the judiciary power to legislate or enforce civil and criminal statutes, which are disguised as law and written by tyrants to conceal the common law and opposes the people. They have been deluded into believing we are their subjects. All judges are bound by their oath to the supreme law of the land under Article 3, Subsection 2. Common law is the law, laws of nature and of nature's God. Statutes are not, as distinguished from equity, also known as legislated law. Common law is a body of maxims, rules, and principles, written or unwritten, which are of a fixed and immutable authority, and which must be applied to controversies rigorously, and in their entirety, and cannot be modified to suit the peculiarities of a specific case or colored by any judicial discretion, and which rests confessedly upon customs or statutes as distinguished from any claim to ethical superiority. Simply put, common law is common sense, justly applied upon the facts. If we do not return to the laws of nature and of nature's God, we will lose God's blessings, and we will be like any other nation. As Samuel Adams said, the natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth, and not to be under the will of legislative authority of man, but only to have the laws of nature for his rule. Either we live under God or tyrants. There are no other choices. God said in Psalm 90, verse 3, Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. All right. Anyway, now this is just a cover sheet or the cover paper that we sent out with this, and the paper we sent out again is talking about a memorandum of law which declares the fact that America was founded upon Christianity. Again, if anybody wants to get into the queue, we do have a couple of people in the queue. Before we get started, I saw a couple of short videos I just want to play. I thought they were pretty powerful. Makes the point. So let me just put them through, and then we're going to go right over to the queue. So again, anybody wants to get into the queue, we only have two people in the queue right now. All right, this is the first video. It's only going to play. It's only a couple of minutes or so. Each one of them is maybe 2 minutes long.
Use big tech to censor you. They use the deep state to spy on you. They use the intelligence agencies to frame you. They use the media to slander you. They use the legal system to persecute you. It is a persecution. They rig elections to disenfranchise you and destroy you and ruin your life.
Well, if you guys haven't figured it out, we've got a huge battle ahead, right, to continue to move.
Okay, and this is another one, just a short piece. I thought it was good to play right after the other one.
Signing out.
And tonight we're getting some new details about that Trump-Trudeau dinner from two people who were at the table. We are told that when Trudeau told President-elect Trump that new tariffs would kill the Canadian economy, Trump joked to him that if Canada can't survive without ripping off the U.S. to the tune of $100 billion a year, then maybe Canada should become the 51st state and Trudeau could become its governor.
In the jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, near the village, the peaceful village, the lion sleeps tonight.
Okay. All right, I guess we'll go into the queue again. There's only two people there, so if anybody wants to get into the queue, star 601 if you're on a phone, and there should be a button there to enter the queue if you're on an app or the browser. Okay, we'll take our first caller here. Let's see. Ross, you got the mic, I believe. Yep, you should have it. No, maybe not. Let me try it again. Okay, Ross, you're muted now. You got the mic.
You hear me?
We can hear you. Go right ahead.
You know the question I was trying to ask you last Monday about the United States Secretary of State. If we have a foreign disease coming, a disease coming from outside of a country, is it the job of the United States Secretary of State to report it to the governor of the state of any state of the union?
Well, I'm not sure. I understand what you're saying, but again, you're talking about a disease that may be coming in from another country, and is it whose responsibility to tell each state governor? What exactly are you saying there?
I'm saying the Secretary of State of the United States. The United States Secretary of State.
Right.
I assume he's the Chief Communication Officer of the government of the United States.
Okay.
And for the several states.
Again, you know, news should be for this purpose. Unfortunately, we get a lot of fake news, but we have been getting a lot of good news through podcasters and a lot of people that are doing podcasting, almost becoming news stations to some degree, at least some of them are. And, you know, it'd be real interesting if Musk was to buy one of those networks. I forget which one. What is it? MSNBC, I think, was coming up for potential. And he was joking about potentially buying it. And some people think he was serious. I mean, that'd be interesting because there's a lot of people that have really developed over the years and is bringing a lot of good news, you know. And We Know, which is where I got those two videos from. And that's an individual, Sean, I believe his name is. No, is it Sean? Maybe that's SG. Yeah, I'm not too sure. But in any event, he's pretty good at bringing the news. And there's a couple others. There's Crossroads. And it would be very interesting to get these people that are really have developed themselves in bringing news and to get them onto a news media that's on TV. That would actually bring real news, nothing biased, nothing focused. Of course, they all focus a little bit on Trump and the Republic in opposed to the other side. But that should pass, and basically the news needs to be brought forward, and the people need to decide. They just need to get the facts. We don't need anybody telling us or, you know, what we need to be thinking. Of course, that's another situation, commentaries, where that's one thing. But the news is just the news, you know. But in any event, the news media should be responsible for bringing that out. But of course, you know, if the government becomes aware of something, then that should become news. They should be making announcements concerning the problem. And I guess it could be the Secretary of State, but I don't know. I've never seen that before, necessarily, that... the Secretary of State, you know, really coming out and making certain announcements and so on. But again, government should be talking about a problem that they see, and the news should be reporting it, and that's the way it should be getting to the people.
Yes, the problem, we used to have a called as High Commissioner of Health. That was, because before we had a Health and Human Service Department.
What department?
I said the Health and Human Services Department. Prior to that, I was an agency of the State U.S. State Department prior to that.
Well, I didn't get that department, though. Did you say Community Service Department?
No, I said Health and Human Services Department.
Oh, Health and Human. Well, we do know that, you know, Trump is looking at all of those, and, you know, and of course they're going to get a lot of feedback, you know, from Musk. And, again, I think a lot of these agencies need to be gotten rid of. I mean, we don't have authority for a lot of these. Now, Health and Human Services might be an important particular department that should be kept. I don't know. I think we need to find the pros and cons and think about it and make a decision. But again, Trump and his team, which he's put together a real good team, it seems, that they're going to be making a lot of decisions on getting rid of a lot of unlawful departments and get rid of waste, so on and so forth. So it's going to be very interesting to watch and to see. Government has got to be reduced. The government is way, way too big, and it's time to bring out the big knives and start slicing away.
Yes. I think the Health and Human Service Department should be more stressed. The United States the United States State Department, because that what that used to be was under in the 1800s and the late 1700s when our country was founded.
So you're saying, I believe, that they've been consolidated before and we should go back and consolidate some of these departments, particularly those two.
Yes.
And kind of your thinking, and that kind of makes a lot of sense, of course. There is a lot of waste and duplication, maybe even, and crazy spending of money on stupid things. I doubt they're really spending money on those things. It's just a way of getting money and putting it in one place and taking it out in another place and ending up into the pockets of people and so on. But again, we'll see how things are going to go. It's going to be very interesting to watch over the next, 6 months to a year. So I can't wait.
I was thinking, because the Secretary of State of the United States traditionally had domestic responsibility in the United States as well. And the problem, they unconsolidated it to all these separate different departments in our federal government.
All right, well, it seems that you've been researching and looking a little bit into these different departments and coming up with some thoughts. I have not, so I can't comment too much. There are certain departments that definitely have to go real quick. I mean, the Department of Education is one. That's a no-brainer. There's nothing to think about. What is the federal government getting involved with a Department of Education? The only thing that the federal government should be involved with as far as education is concerned is the requirement of certain things that must be taught in school. Like, let's say, the Constitution, civics, law, and general things that really give how the political process works, how the judicial process works. Those things should be taught in school, and they should be required. And if a school is not teaching those things, then the way they can correct that is just not give them any federal funding. It pretty much is that simple. But as far as everything else concerned with what children are learning and what needs to be in school, I mean, of course, we all agree with the basics. We must know our history. We must know our American history and our world history. We should know geography. We should know, reading, mathematics. The main subjects that must be taught. And then anything from there, it's really up to the people to decide in their own local communities, and that's the way it should be. I'm not sure exactly how it was when I was young, but I remember my mother going to meetings, school meetings, a couple of times a year, and I suppose it was for that purpose, to get feedback from the parents concerning what their children are learning. So, but again, I don't know. Obviously, my mind was not focused back then on what was going on.
So. Yes, I think we need have some of the palace back to the get rid of the Justice Department, definitely, because our family fathers didn't really have a Justice Department originally.
Say this again about the Justice Department. What about it?
During the founding, when the founding fathers were alive, they didn't have a Justice Department at all.
Well, I think the Justice Department is a necessity. Maybe there's things that they shouldn't be doing. Well, obviously, there are problems with the Justice Department. It needs to be really getting rid of the leadership and just cleaning house. But again, it'd be interesting to listen to the debates or conversations concerning those things. And I got to believe as time goes on, over the course of the next year, we're going to see a lot of things and information. They're probably going to reveal a lot of things, of course, with subversion and, You know, there's going to be trials and different things, a lot of it military. And there'll be a lot of discussions on problems. And therein would be a good reason why a news media that really focuses in 24/7 on the real news. But, of course, we still have a lot of podcasters, again, and a lot of them have developed and matured quite well. They really have gotten very good at what they're doing. And some of them are really focused in on just going in and talking about the news, like Front Page, for instance. That's real good. What's the name of that one? Cross something. I forget the name of it. But anyway, there's a couple of them out there that are really, really good. And
The Blaze.
Crossroads is what I was thinking of. But go ahead.
The Blaze.
The Blaze, absolutely, yes, The Blaze and Crossroads. And of course, you know, which is really good. I think he does a really good job at that. He does interviews also. You know, to some degree, a lot of them are all kind of slanted towards the right, if you want to call it the right. I don't really want to call it the right. They're slanted towards repairing the problem in the Constitution. And we should anyway be slanted towards that. The Constitution should be the king. There shouldn't be a right, and there shouldn't be a left. There should be we should be constitutionalists. That's what we should be doing. You know, that's the focus that we should be talking about. But anyway. But yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of changes in a lot of departments. A lot of them are going to be slashed. Some of them are going to be brought together and consolidated. And waste is going to be rid of, hopefully, quite quickly.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Ross.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, let's... John, how you doing? You got the mic.
Hey, John. John, Michigan here.
Michigan John, yep.
Question. What the heck is going on with those drones or UFOs or whatever out east? I mean, we're in Michigan. I haven't seen anything, but what's going on? Do you have any idea?
Well, yeah, there's been some good reporting on that recently. Matter of fact, it even hit Front Page just did a little bit on it. They didn't get too deep into it or where the source came from of information, but they did report on it. I think SG has done... Is it SG? Hold on a minute. Let me think. Let me look at the news here. You know, we have, and we know, did a good one on this. Probably the most powerful one that really got into the most detail was X-22 report. SGT report, I believe, did something on it. And again, it's been leaking out into other places, and that it is the White Hats. It's us. Those drones are out there seeking, they're really looking for potential, what would you call it, nuclear. There's some nuclear materials or waste, I'm not sure which one, but anyways, I think it was a waste, some nuclear waste that disappeared. And it was in Jersey. And there's other places. So they have created these drones, I believe, just for what's coming up now, to get out there to search for particular problems. The government is not going to tell you what's going on because they're the one that's creating the problems, and the drones are the things that are really looking in to discover those problems. So I'm pretty convinced that that is the solution. In 2017, I think it was 2017, it was early on, Q talked about the drones coming in for that purpose. And I know X-22, Dave from X-22, focused in on that, what Q had said concerning that. So again, how does Q put it? The future proves past. So when Q was putting all that information out for about a period of 3 years or so, a lot of people were looking for it to take place at that time period, and it didn't. But Q constantly would be brought, and Q again is military intelligence, and it's not just one person, it's the military. Q is the highest level of intelligence, and You know, and often there was at least a couple of times where Q says, future proves past. So we're looking to Q now onto the Q boards to see what's going on today and get information and understanding. For instance, these drones, we now have a good understanding of what they're all about. So, and Trump, I just saw talking recently in the last couple of days, maybe today or yesterday. Well, I saw it today, but I don't know when it was recorded. And he was talking about that the government knows exactly what's going on up there. They know whose drones they are, but they're not telling the people. Now, Trump isn't telling the people either to some degree. Well, he is. He's telling them that it is military, okay? And again, the government is not telling the people that. They're not telling them what they're looking for and why or any of those things. They're remaining silent. I mean, they got the stupidest, most dumbest, you know, response to this whole thing where they say, well, they're not a threat. We don't know who they are. They know where they're coming from. We don't know. they're not a threat. Goodness, how can they know? Tell us how they know it's not a threat, okay? But the bottom line is they know exactly what it is. It's hunting down the things that they're doing. That's what's going on. And it's not just in Jersey. Jersey is just a hot spot at the moment because of the nuclear waste that has been stolen.
Well, I see this, and is it just a United States problem? Is there stuff overseas too, or don't you know?
Well, I think it's all over, yeah. Because we do know that this, there are drones in a lot of other places. And remember, this is a worldwide event. This is many, many militaries, many, many countries working on this to try to get rid of their deep state. And because deep state is broad and wide, it's everywhere. Remember, we have been building democracies for, 80, 70 years now, since World War II. We've been building democracies. So we got, 60, 70, about 80 years now. And what's the purpose of a democracy? You know, especially us building it, the CIA totally involved with it, bringing down governments to rise up others. The purpose, of course, is to create oligarchies. That's the purpose of a democracy. It always ends up with self-murder. It commits suicide at the end. And it ends up with being an oligarchy. Which is ruled by a few behind the scenes. They just put someone up front, like Biden or somebody, but there's really people behind the scenes that are controlling everything. We've been an oligarchy for quite some time, by the way.
Right. Well, I'm just curious about that, if you'd seen anything about that, because, like I said, I don't see anything like that in Michigan, and just have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's panic. People are panicking, and to a certain degree, that's good because it helps to wake others up. People are frightened all over the place. But I'm pretty well convinced what I said it was is probably it. I mean, we've got to keep our minds open, of course. But it seems pretty solid that they're out there for the purpose of dealing with problems that could be a major problem. You know, again, nuclear waste is a major problem. Making dirty bombs could be a real problem. So,
you know, it's interesting. I hear a guy speaking the other day, and he was talking about the nuclear waste or whatever you want to call it, but the spent fuel rods from the nuclear power plants. I thought that they were like 50% used up, but they're maybe like, I think he said like 5%. You know, at that point in time, it's like ashes on a fire. They make it so it's not being very efficient, whatever, I can't say replace them. But there's plenty of spent fuel rods that are only 5% used. They would run all our energy for 400 years if they used them. You know, so I don't know, you know, the nuclear waste, that's unused energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we have nuclear ships out at sea. Aircraft carriers are all nuclear these days, and they never have to fuel up. They're going to run for its entire lifetime. You know, so you got, of course, the submarines are all nuclear, the nuclear submarines. So they run, you know, they don't have to fuel.
Yeah, and that's the guy was talking about the nuclear power plants, the big ones, you know, but they have the smaller ones, that maybe 300 megawatts, whatever like that, that they were almost, they were compartmentalized or basically portable. You know, I mean, you can set them up in an area, and so instead of having big power lines going all over the place, you just set the small nuclear reactors in a city or in an area and run that area. Because that's another thing he was talking about, was the fact that it takes, you know, like, what, 19 years they were trying to get a power transmission line, 19 years trying to get the permitting for it, you know, where if you just put the power plant where they use the power, you wouldn't have to do all those things. So, but, yeah, it's, I don't believe in nuclear waste. It's just unused nuclear spent fuel is what it is.
You know, I think nuclear is too dangerous. Nuclear power plants. I do not think that we should be building any anymore, and I think we should really be dismantling and getting rid of the ones we have, because it's a serious problem when something goes wrong. You know, Three Mile Island was a very serious thing, and a lot of the radiation release from that place went all the way out to Pennsylvania, all through New Jersey into New York. And a lot of people have succumbed to cancer. You know, that was back, I think that was back in the 70s, if I remember. And now a lot of people have died. My sister died of cancer out in Pennsylvania. My brother-in-law died of cancer. My niece died of cancer, and she was kind of young, but, and a lot of people I spoke with out in Pennsylvania, because I have family out there. They say lots of people died of cancer out there. So they got the brunt of it. That was in Lansford, Pennsylvania. And so there's other areas where there's a high rate of cancer. It's a problem. Now, the company that was trying to repair the problem, and they wanted to, I don't know if people saw the documentary on this. It's the Three Mile Island documentary. I think it was three parts. An hour and a half each. It was pretty long, but it was very riveting and, you know, kept your attention. It was very interesting. But the bottom line was the way that they wanted, there was one guy who prevented, and he didn't get it till the last day, the day before they were going to take this thing apart and they were going to go into it in a certain way to kind of remove, you know, I guess, whatever's inside these systems there, these nuclear plants, you know, you got the VARs and whatever. But anyway, what they wanted to do, one guy was pushing for years to prevent this from going forward, but it was going to go forward. And it wasn't until the last day, one day before they were actually going to go in there and start dismantling this thing, that it was prevented. And it turns out that if they would have went on to do it the way this other company wanted to do it, which was the cheapest way, that this thing would have exploded. It would have knocked out the entire Northeast. So I don't know if anybody's seen that documentary, but you should go check that out. You can go probably on, you do your search on Roku or something, and you'll probably find it. It's a Three Mile Island documentary. Really, really important for people to see and understand. Because anybody who sees what took place at Three Mile Island, and look what happened with Chernobyl, you know, anybody goes out and sees what happened there, they're not going to want nuclear anywhere near them. And again, it, you know, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, all the way up into New England states, that would have been all totally gone. You wouldn't be able to live there, okay, if this thing went, you know, nuke, I guess you'd say it. So, anyway.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm not a nuclear engineer, but I know that they have to be enriched. In order to make a bomb, you have to have a really, really enriched, a lot more so than you'd ever have in a nuclear power plant. But, I mean, it's a chain reaction, but it's like bubble gum compared to the stuff they make the bombs out of, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway, I there's plenty of other sources of energy. You know, water is one. We know that you can get energy out of water. It makes sense. You know, water is H2O, hydrogen and oxygen. That could be split. People have got, I know China is actually working on that, and I believe I believe Musk is also working on that, vehicles that will run on water. And that's been around for quite some time. It's just that they keep shutting down and killing people who try to bring it up. Trying to think of that guy that revealed all of those captured spaceships, ships, whatever they are, UFOs that have crashed. And I'm trying to think of that guy's name that revealed a lot of that stuff. I think it was late 80s and early 90s, and he's been pretty popular. He's been some documentaries he's been in. And he's been running his car on water for a long time. So it could be done. Also, there's technology to actually pull it off of, the Earth's magnetism, magnetic fields. And I think I even heard maybe even pulling it out of the air for moisture. Again, there's lots of things we just need, and probably already have it. You know, they just been killing off the people who have been bringing these things up. But I'm sure that technology is hidden within our government, and once Trump's team really gets down to work problems out, I'm sure they're going to discover a lot of different things that it's going to be really advantageous and helpful to the world and to the economy. Electricity should be free, ultimately. There's no reason why it can't be. And I know here in, we're under Central Hudson. I don't know how big of a reach Central Hudson has, which is our electric company here in New York. But I think it expands out quite a few states, I guess. I really don't know. But that that electric company is actually owned by foreigners, ultimately people in Canada. Same thing with the U.S. Post Office. Even though the U.S. Post Office, I guess it's contracted out to a corporation that runs the post office and been doing that for quite some time, and they also are out of this, out of the United States, foreign corporations. These things should not be run by foreign corporations, you know. But again, you know, there's a lot of energy. You should be able to get free energy. A lot out there.
It's interesting. You think about this, you know, the zero-point energy is kind of what you're talking about. It really is, there's energy moving all the time. And by definition, energy is ability to do work. And, it's like the wind. What does the wind look like? Have you ever seen the wind? You don't see the wind, but you see the result of it. You fill it, put a sail out there, and the wind will fill it up, and it'll push it. And all wind is energy moving from point A to point B. And basically, what I got to do is you got to figure out a way to harness that with some kind of a sail. I don't care what you call a sail, but I mean, you know, there's electrical energy, there's vibratory energy, there's all kinds of energy moving all the time, and energy by definition is moving. And so, you know, get some kind of a function that will capture it and direct it, and you've got all the energy you ever want. Because, I mean, by definition, air is moving all the time, and it's called wind, right? I mean, and heat is moving, and you can see heat reflections and waves and stuff like that, but you really can't see it. You can feel it. But there's, you know, energy. Normally you can't see that energy, but it's there, so use it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, again, there is a lot of invisible energy right in the air. I mean, and again, I'm not talking about wind energy, you know, but just in our in the air. What would you call it?
Magnetic or gravitation or whatever. I'm just saying, but
especially
by definition, it's always moving. It's moving from point A to point B. And all you got to do is capture that stuff. You know, I mean, I don't know. Have you ever been on an ice boat? If you reduce the friction on the thing, an ice boat will go a lot faster than wind's blowing. So that scared the hell out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So. All right, just curious. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, John. Okay, we'll take our next caller, Frocine. You got the mic. Go right ahead. New York.
Hey, John, how are you? How is everybody there? Nice to be part of this this conversation. So a couple things. As usual, I think, and then I write them down. So first of all, the guy from And We Know is LT. I believe he was a Marine. He was involved with media.
name? I know I heard his first name.
That's all I know him as, LT.
Yeah, but I did hear him, his first name used somewhere on his show.
Oh, it might have been Sean then. That's just...
Well, no, I think Sean is with SG. What is it? Hold on a minute. Let me take a quick look. Sean is with SGT Report. Okay.
Dave is
22, but and we know, I just don't remember, maybe it could it be Larry, maybe?
I just know it's LT. Yeah. But anyway, and he is a Christian, and, you know, which is great because he puts that's what directs what and how to focus things, how to perceive and understand things and their relative importance. And that's what's missing overall. Like, that's what's missing from our education. That should be like, you know, I was thinking as you all were talking earlier, when God was directing how to, you know, how that people, the Israelites, should raise their children, it was like, and teach these commandments to your children. Remind them, you know, put them on your foreheads and, you know, bring them to mind and so on. And it was the law of God that should be the core of education.
Train up a child, absolutely.
Yeah, according to his law. So anyway, as far as like what to teach. So X22, I was listening to earlier, he had Devin Nunes on there. Devin Nunes was talking about Truth Plus, which is going to be like a streaming, like a platform, and really building up our choices. I think it's going to be like subscription, you know, like Roku or something like that. And it's really going to expand. He made reference to his interviewer, meaning the X22 guy, which I think you said his name was Dave. And I don't know too much about him, but he seemed to reference him as like someone who was knowledgeable about financial things. So what he was saying was that, you know, people with knowledge in different areas such as that, you know, that they would be able to expand and, you know, have a platform to really educate, really to be an opportunity for people to learn about these things. So that's great. And then as far as the drones, again, I'm just like free, whatever they call it. Drones, the person who brought that up earlier, there's a guy on YouTube. He is a pilot, and he talks of himself as like, I'm like a airplane steward. And he did work as a steward for many years for, I think, Spirit or something. But he is a very strong Christian, and he definitely knows what he's talking about. Anyway, his channel is Coffee Time with Kevin Zadai, Z-A-D-A-I, and he talks about the technology that we have. And he says you can buy on Amazon this, like, gravity-defying toys now. And he says how the government had the capacity, and it was either suppressed or more recently just being fashioned as toys. But the ability to defy gravity, which they've studied from crashed things and blah, 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 and have developed themselves, is well known, you know, in those circles. But people who came out with it were, you know, like strangled by vacuum cords, that kind of thing. But it's coming out little by little, but he's very careful about how he talks, but you can catch some of that stuff on that. What else? Tesla. Nikolai Tesla went to J.P. Morgan and showed him how energy can be free. And J.P. Morgan basically said, well, how do you make any money? So he suppressed it. And as many of us know, Tesla was painted to be a crazy person and, you know, dismissed that way, like so many people are, including, you know, ourselves. And what else? Let's see. As far as the nuclear, you know, that was a great solution with more limited options, but there really are a lot of options, you know, like, and what that other John was saying, like, energy is almost invisible. You know, the point about wind wasn't about wind specifically. It was that it's invisible. It's a mechanism by which other things are moved. And again, like I said, Tesla referenced the capacity for energy that I don't know the details, that is free. And so there's stuff that, like you said, has been suppressed that we don't even know about. But hopefully, and I am excited too. I just, oh my gosh, things are opening up and we have no idea how much is going to open up. You sense it. You know, like I was listening to something the other day and it's like when the Bible talks about birth pangs, you know, that answer, you feel it. You feel that increasing intensity and frequency. And that is in the air and that's exciting. Nuclear subs. You know, again, this is just me spitballing as I'm listening to the conversation. You know, it never occurred to me until you were talking, if a nuclear sub was torpedoed, would that result in a big nuclear explosion?
Yeah, I think the oceans are big enough that it could really deal with that and break it down pretty good, pretty quick.
Oh, that's good.
As long as it doesn't get into the air, you know, but again, you're out at the ocean. But I don't know. I don't have the knowledge there on that. So.
Okay. All right. Well, and
I respond a little bit to, you know, basically the Bible in school is the key. And let me read something. This I'm just going to read a paragraph here or two. This is out of the paper that we filed with, which is a presentment with an audit to the United States Supreme Court. And again, it's a long paper. It's 158 pages, I think. And it breaks down all the problems in the courts and what needs to be done. And one of the problems it also deals with is the Bible in school. And we know that Roe versus Wade had been overturned and things have been sent back to the states. And so the states are going to have to deal with it. And, you know, a lot of states, I believe, out there is not going to permit abortions. But let me just read this paragraph or two. This is on page 33 of 128 pages, line 870. For 174 years, it was legal and constitutionally protected that the Bible was to be taught in American schools, and it is still common law today. Whereas our founders were clear when they codified saying, it shall forever be encouraged. And that brings it back to the people, the communities, you know. You take, for instance, a Jewish community that and they have the control and they may just want to get the Old Testament. Yeah, that's okay, too, because it's still the Bible and it's the law. But it is up to the community to do it, and we have to encourage it. I mean, back in the beginning, I think it was pretty, you know, probably very popular in most, if not all, schools that the Bible was the centerpiece of education. I don't think we'll ever get back to that, but maybe, who knows. But anyway, for 174 years, it was legal, constitutionally protected that the Bible to be taught in American schools, and is still the common law today. Whereas the founders were clear when they codified it, saying it shall forever be encouraged. The following freedoms were also legal in our schools for over 174 years. Invocations, benedictions, prayer, at athletic events, and teacher-led prayer. Now they're all illegal under the false pretense of separation of church and state. With this unlawful decision by the United States Supreme Court, keeping in mind the fact that even Congress can make no law concerning the free exercise. Whereas the bar-steered Supreme Court ignored the law, and the people and today, our children are being demoralized and trained to be godless. Now, we know all that's going to change. And it's very important, I think. Well, first of all, if the king of our court is Jesus Christ, it's God. Because remember, you go back to the Declaration of Independence, and we're under the laws of nature, and of nature's God. And in return, you know, to be under his laws, we receive his blessings. You know, we go into the Constitution itself in the preamble, and we read, I'll read the entire part of the preamble. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
Amen.
That's what our government is supposed to be doing, securing the blessings of liberty, which brings us right to the Bill of Rights. Okay, to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So the Bible, again, it brings back the God into our courts, into our law. You know, Bible is the law. That is common law. And we need to bring it back into the schools as much as possible. You know, we just have to be careful with the personal doctrines that people might bring in. I know I wrote something about that in this paper, but I'm not seeing it right away. But people should read through this. You know, as long as we're very careful, not pushing things over on children, but just we're looking mostly for the moral teachings, the historical teachings. That's the key. We need to know the law of the land, which is the Bible, and brings us to the Ten Commandments. It's written in the hearts of men. But we need to know the king of the court. If we don't know the king of the court, how can we know anything? Who's going to rule the courts? Because right now it's being ruled over by men. And the hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it, the Bible says. So we need to be ruled over by God. And our nation will be as just as our courts are. And our relationship with other nations, again, will be reflected of that fact, you know, that it's really the Bible, common law, and liberty for everyone. People are able to believe whatever they want to believe, you know. A lot of people, you know, I've heard in the past, you know, they fear the idea of the Bible ruling that, you know, it's going to go crazy. And again, you know, if we are really honest and really train up our children how they should walk and not allow, you know, doctrines of men to be brought in to interpret the Bible in the school, it's just a matter of a history book and teaching the morals. And what they get out of it, they see themselves and hear themselves. And again, it gets back to the parents of the community, too, because they have to have a say on what's going on in their schools. And it could be communities that wouldn't want the Bible, but maybe they'll take some, you know, the precepts out of the Bible and bring them in, and that would be helpful also, because that also brings morality to the minds of the children. We have to train our children up in morals, and if we don't, then we have a demoralized society.
While you were talking, I was thinking a couple of things. One, earlier you said, like, and relates to this as well, that's why it reminded me, you know, it's not about right or left or conservative or liberal or communist or capitalist, you know, blah, blah, or, you know, up, up, blah, blah, you know, up, down,
it's
right,
all,
you know, whatever.
It's all factions.
It's right. And it reminded me of the scripture in Joshua 5:13 and 14 where, you know, Joshua, they're facing down Jericho. They're finally going to, you know, advance in the kingdom. And so it says here, I'm reading it, when Joshua went near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" And so on. The point is, Joshua was asking, "Are you for us or for our enemy?" And he was like, "Neither. I'm here on behalf of the Lord. I'm here on behalf of God Almighty. I'm here on behalf of what's right in the eternal sense of truth. And that is the ultimate arbiter. And that has to be the ultimate arbiter." And when I talk to people, and, you know, it's almost pointless to try to talk to some people. Well, it definitely is pointless. Some people will never change, but we don't know who those are, just like we don't know who will or will not be saved. So what I've taken to is not trying to necessarily convince them of certain specific details, because I don't even have all the details that, you know, they may be moved by. What I try to approach now is, can you agree that the ultimate truth, whatever that ends up being in whatever topic, should be the final goal of everyone involved. Like, everyone has an opinion. Like, you know, when people say, well, that's my truth, that's you. No, that's an opinion. Your truth versus my truth versus Joe down the road's truth, that's an opinion. That's not, quote, the truth. And then I tell them, the truth, by definition, is true regardless of whether or not anyone believes it, when it's being spoken, when it occurs. If it's 5,000 years ago or 5,000 years from now, it is true because by definition, truth is true regardless of any impact of any variable, and has nothing to do with any individual's perception or experience or whatever. So therefore, it is not your truth. So that's right there. We have, and that's a function of the enemy, is to inject, did God really say? You know, is that the truth? So that's the first thing. So it's not about me or you, or as Joshua was saying, are you with us or are you for our enemies? Neither. I'm here on behalf of the Lord. I'm here on behalf of, quote, the truth. So at which he fell face down and said, okay, what do you want for me to do? So that has to be the ultimate arbiter, is what is, and that's why I said earlier, the Bible, or at least biblical principles, the Ten Commandments, has to be the arbiter of education, of whatever, and that will determine what rises and what falls away as less or more important to focus on, be it education or justice. You know, what is true justice? Well, it's whatever is right in the context of godly righteousness. So that's what I want to say about that. Ironically, you know,
let me make yeah. a note, just a quick
sure.
one. You know, many people might make the claim that God is on our side, when the fact of the matter
is... Well, people like to say that in the Civil War, both sides said that God was on their side.
It should be, we must be on God's side. You
Correct.
Know, with the attitude, the perspective of making a claim like that, if God is on our side, it says that we lead and God is kind of following along and you know, on our
Good.
Side. Ultimately, that's where it gets to. Where if we're on God's side, then God leads. And
Amen.
Whether we like things or not, we know that he's wiser than us, of course. He's the creator. So we followed. It's a different perspective, a different point of view.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic point. The other thing is, like, all the first schools that ended up being the considered Ivy League schools were started to promote biblical studies. And how ironic is that, that they now have become like bastions of secular and humanism, ironically. And then you said you don't know if we'll ever get back to teaching the Bible.
I think we're going to get back to that, but, I'd like to see. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be widespread throughout the schools, throughout the nations, as it should be. But maybe it will be. I don't know.
You know when it will? In the millennium.
But there will be schools that will focus in a different direction, and they got a right to do that, and people can send their children to those schools, you know.
So. Yeah, but in the millennium, it will be taught exactly as it should be.
Well,
during the 1,000 years,
that's a whole subject we can talk about maybe in a Bible environment.
But anyway, all right. Well, let's see. Oh, and you said securing the blessings, that the purpose is to secure the blessings. And I thought that was interesting too, because if we do not follow God's law, even if you want to say that that's the basis of common law, well, biblically speaking, if we don't secure the blessings, then we're subjecting ourselves to the curses. So that would be the consequence of not securing the blessings. And that's to the third and fourth generation, meaning education. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, I did read your memorandum, and on page 6, it says, the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, quote, unlawfully passed by Congress, gave the Supreme Court the power to make rules of procedure and evidence for federal courts as long as they did not, quote, abridge, enlarge,
or modify any substantive right, which sounds reasonable enough, but obviously they did.
Well, the very next rule, they destroyed the common law and
yeah.
they created civil law, and that was rule two. And that's, from my perspective of thinking, that's the fruit of the poisonous tree. The whole thing is corrupt. But in any event, you know, you can't have, we're a common law nation, and law is common law. And ultimately, you know, to put it in a nutshell, it's common sense with an eye and focus on the facts of and justice, bringing justice to the facts. And that's really where we have to focus in on. Anyway, I just lost my train of thought, but back to you.
Well, I mean, you know, since this seems to be pretty much the root, like you said, fruit of the poisonous tree there, the root of all these agencies from which all these laws that govern and dictate our lives and destroy our lives emanate from, all these statutory agencies, but they emanate from this egregiously unlawful ruling by the Supreme Court in 1934, that's pretty hard to roll back, because really, if,
well, that's why we have to get rid of them. That's why all these federal judges got to go. Okay,
yeah.
And that's why the Bar Association, you know, anybody that's a bar member is an Esquire, and that is a position of honor. And that of course is a problem, and you know, they can't come into a place, they can't come to a place of what would you call it? Well, they shouldn't be judges. They shouldn't be anybody with that kind of an authority in a position, in a government position, because that's a problem. But that brings my mind back to what I wanted to say earlier, and I forgot. I lost my train of thought there, and that is the rules. Okay. The rules of common law also apply on equity. It always had. There were no different rules for equity, because equity is that which is just and right. Okay, that's what equity is. And it is legislative law that is to be just and right. And so any law that doesn't bring justice, that doesn't harmonize with the common law, because we're a common law nation, and that's why the people have the power and the authority in a court of law to nullify statutes or regulations or anything that might be applied upon an individual who was under that system where they have to, you know, follow regulations or statutes or things of that nature. So if it's a criminal case, you know, basically if there's any kind of a case is an administrative case. In, if you work for a government agency or if you are working commercial activities, and there's a discrepancy, a problem, or a violation, you know, you're judged in a administrative court. And but once it becomes a criminal offense, okay, if there's a crime involved, it immediately has to move into a court of law. It no longer can be in a court of equity. It has to go to a court of law. But with it, when it's brought into a court of law, the statutes and that which is applied about that upon that individual that they agreed to when they went to work for that agency or that commercial activity, they agreed to these things. That is the key part, that they had agreed to it and they have and they're working in that environment. So that could be applied upon them, and then the people who are judging that, or the jury, because it's a criminal offense, they get the opportunity to potentially nullify the statutes or whatever is applied upon them. They don't have to worry about nullification in a court of law where it has nothing to do with equity, okay? And again, equity is, again, that which is just and right, and it's the application of what is righteous and just in a through legislative law. And the people are the final word. We're the sovereign. We make the final decision on whether we that law harmonizes with common law or not. But the rules of common law have always been, since America was started, the rules of common law has been ruled over for not only law but also equity. And that makes sense because, again, that has to have common law principles in it. So when they came up with these rules, and they applied it, of course, across the board, they applied it not only, because then they opened up and pushed forward all these statutes and stuff and were really in chancery courts. And the rules that they made up apply to both law and equity, which they combined, and that whole thing is a farce. The whole thing is untrue because there is no common law in that at that point. It just becomes the laws of men, out of the minds of men, for the purpose of controlling the slaves eventually, because that's where it's at. So anyway... The rules cannot be made. Neither Congress had the authority or rights to make the rules for the court, and neither did the Supreme Court. And, of course, Congress can't give their authority to the Supreme Court, which is what was given to them, but ruled neither of them could make rules because the rules are that of the common law.
So two things that come to my mind. One is it really becomes extremely difficult for someone, an individual like myself, like others here, who really want to cite some of these truths to show why the authority that some of these courts are trying to exert over us are unlawful, when in fact the Supreme Court gave them that authority, unlawfully, but nevertheless gave them that authority back in
34 is correct. That's the rule.
Okay.
38 is when they finally came out with the rules.
Okay. Well, my point is, right. So then here, you know, as you know, I'm and others too are going to court citing this, that, and the other.
And they use rules like their law.
Yeah, and when, you know, we're citing stuff that, for example, citing like Supreme Court this and Supreme Court that, when in fact the Supreme Court gave them that authority, I'm not saying it's not doable, but I'm saying it is way bigger than I expected, because I didn't think the Supreme Court ceded that authority to them right there as a root.
But the Supreme Court should not be ruling on social issues. It has nothing to do with them. Their job is really to be the final appeals only to equity courts, not courts of record, okay? Courts of record are final. Now, they do have the authority to, and they need to, get themselves involved in a court of law where in the process of that particular trial, whatever took place, if someone's unalienable rights was violated, they have a duty to go in there and fix that. Of course, some attention has to be given to them that there's the problem there, and then they should fix that. In other words, they are there to champion the Constitution, particularly on behalf of the people, of course, and to make decisions and rulings in equity courts, but not in courts of law. They cannot overturn or second-guess the decision of a jury.
Okay, so did I understand correctly when you were talking earlier that, because you mentioned commerce, and that people, I'm maybe oversimplifying it in my understanding, but if you engage in commerce, you're therefore agreeing to certain stuff,
that's exactly right.
Right.
And if you come in as a criminal and you're doing something illegal, trafficking or whatever the case may be, well, you fall into the requirements that you are governed by for commercial activities, and they can apply that. Now, it becomes a court of law because if it's a criminal activity, of course, it moves over into, of course, a court of law, which is a court of record. But nevertheless, statutes that are applicable for them can be applied upon them, and it's up to the jury to decide whether they like that or not. I mean, and you know, you could have a statute that might be just and right, and people would agree upon it. But as they look into the court case, they may say, "Well, in this case, we shouldn't apply it." Again, they have the ability to do that because they're the sovereign.
Well,
you know,
the thing that worries me about that is because it's kind of what we, you know, correct me where I'm wrong. Like if you get a driver's license or if you get a marriage license, you are like de facto agreeing to certain things so that you end up cited as having agreed just because of the fact that you have to participate. And if you're in commerce, you have to participate, and therefore you're forced in a way if you want to
engage in a marriage, you'd be right. I mean, you people don't realize that when they get married, they go get a marriage license, and I made the same mistake. But nevertheless, they took on a third partner in your marriage. That's the government.
But it should never have been presented that way. So the point that I'm making is, in commerce, if you want to engage in commerce, even on the way you're talking about.
Let's get to the other side of that, but what you said, because you talked about a driver's license.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with getting a driver's license, whether you're driving commercial or not. If you want to get a driver's license, first of all, it's good identity, but you can also get an ID from motor vehicles also, so you can do that. But you know, if you want to get a regular driver's license, which is for commercial driving, and you might want to potentially do commercial at some point, you might do it from time to time. So you have a driver's license, and it's still a good ID. You haven't agreed to anything that they can apply upon you unless you're actually in the activity. You know, if you're driving a vehicle and you're transporting goods or people for a fair, you know, and you're doing a commercial activity in your vehicle, well, then that which is can be applied upon you. Statutes according to whatever the business you're in are applied upon you.
Well, okay. Well, all I'm saying is, what worries me is the potential for abuse that. Or at least that you're forced, if you want to engage, like, get it, okay, so it's driver's license, so like marriage or anything else, if you want to engage in something commercial, just like, you know, if you want to participate in that arena, you have to agree by default. You have to agree to whatever.
That's why we gave Congress 18 powers. For that specific purpose, we told them exactly what they can write the laws for, and they've written a lot of laws. They wrote 57 codes. So you know, there's some bad stuff in there. The big problem is they've written things in there that can be applied upon the people, some penalty or this or that or the other thing that's involved with that kind of activity. But that cannot be applied upon the people in any way, shape, or form. And even if it's applied upon the individual that's operating within a particular field, commercial or governmental, then at that point, those things apply to them, but the people can nullify it. You see, it really goes back to the people. It goes back to education. And it goes back to committees of safety, the true committee men, for the political process and the judicial process. Because we're supposed to be watching our government. We have government by consent. That means we have to be involved. We have to consent or not. And we can protect the problems that you talk about and the fears that we can fall into this problem or that problem. But the reason we fall into those things is because people aren't watching. Your job is to watch. That's why every county should have a committee of safety. They should be working with this sheriff. And it's not a big deal. So you give $5 or $10 a month into the committee of safety as dues or whatever you want to call it. And then you spend 2 hours a month at a meeting and maybe do 2 hours of work throughout the month, and bring back your conclusions and solutions or whatever the case may be back to the full committee for decisions. But someone's got to be watching the courts. That's why you have a judiciary committee. Someone's got to be watching the political process as far as voting and things of that nature. Again, that's why you have a political committee. So each one of these different committees are really just watching what's going on. You know, the dog phrase.
Watchdog.
There you go. We got to be the watchdogs. Okay.
Okay. Well, it's sad that it's next. Well, I guess it's just the nature of the beast. But it's almost like once something gets passed, like this Supreme Court thing, it becomes very. It's so much harder. Even if you have a watchdog,
not true. Look at the Supreme Court is restricted to what they can really rule upon. When they ruled on Roe versus Wade, they had no business ruling on anything like that.
Right.
In no business at all. Those are social issues. That's up to the people to make some decisions and thoughts and different things.
So if we had watchdogs, they could have said, hey, no, no, no. But it really what I'm saying is that by the time it gets to the point where it's ruled, it's almost gone too far.
Well, again, there won't be any. If people were educated in the common law, just general education, you know, we have general education, we have deeper education. But even the people that are just in the general education, okay, and they're learned it in that, okay, then they can see the problems, deal with the problems, and we would all see, hey, Supreme Court, you can't make those decisions. You have no because we'd all see that. Okay,
you know what, right.
The people that are involved. Remember, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And so the people who are participating mostly should be the people at the committees of safety. So if you have a community like where I live, I don't remember what the population is of my county, Dutchess County, but I think it's close to 1 million, 800,000 people or something, I think. Okay. Well, we need, a minimum of 200 people to be really solid and strong, and we can get more than that. But that's that again. That's the majority that's participating. They're the ones that's going to make all the decisions. They're the ones that's going to see what's wrong and stop it. They're the ones that's going to make the decisions in what's going on in the political process and the different things that are happening. And again, we're under common law, so we have a ruler to work with. And that rule is simply, very simply, ultimately I want to add two rulers. One, of course, would be the Ten Commandments. The law is written in the hearts of men. It's already written in your heart. And that's what God had did in the New Testament. He wrote it in the hearts of men. And so the Bible says. But the real ruler of a lot of things is the Bill of Rights. It's the Bill of Rights. Because anything that, and remember, the Ninth Amendment adds in all of our liberties that we didn't list. I mean, right. The right to travel, okay, is in the Ninth Amendment. It's founded in the Ninth Amendment. And so once you take that ruler, once anything violates, and that's how you can know a law is a problem. If it violates one of our unalienable rights, then it's a problem. And that's the ruler. It's very simple. If we
just
from those terms.
So would you say that, as you were saying earlier, that Congress can and should make these essentially statutory laws, but what they've done is they've gone too far.
They've applied USC 18, USC 28.
Right.
They're applying that upon the people as civil law. That's the problem. You can't.
Right.
You cannot apply those things upon the people. You can apply those things on the people that are operating in those activities,
you know, whether it's
commercial or within government agency of some kind. But you cannot apply it upon the people in general. And even then, if it comes to a criminal situation, then it moves into a law court and the people decide anyway. And remember, in order to get a conviction, and we're totally lost to this. People don't even understand this. In order to get a conviction, it's got to be all 12 of the jury. Not 9, 10, they're not a majority, all 12. Right. And when they want to sequester a jury, who the hell do these people think they are that they want to sequester a jury? It's none of their business. The jury came out and made a decision, that's it. Why do they want to find out if someone's heart was not really in the guilty side of things so they can try to get another hearing, another court case, and who's going to hear it? Look, the law is clear. The decision of a jury is final. It cannot be overturned, not even by the United States Supreme Court, unless, you know, they can get involved in little parts within that case of someone whose rights were violated and correct that problem. But they can't change the jury decision, and they can't get involved in that because we're above the United States Supreme Court. People need to understand that and realize that. But it's a wrongdoing to get involved with that if you're ignorant, because ignorance, there's nothing more dangerous than ignorance in action. We need to understand the due process, and we need to understand the common law, the science of the republic, the science of government by consent, and it's not difficult because really, you know what the big difference when you have statutes, you have to kind of figure and memorize them or look them up all the time. Our law is written in the hearts. We already know what to do. We see when a wrongdoing is done. we can understand, because we live in the same world the people that we're judging live in. But we can figure out on how to restore that individual. We don't need some legislator telling us anything about what we need to do. We don't need the United States Supreme Court either. We're above all of them. And that's what people need to realize and understand, because that's when you're truly free and independent, when you understand that. I got to move to the next person because it's getting late. One other person in the queue here.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, we're going to Marianne in Indiana. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Oh, I'm here. I walked away for a second. Hey, you were mentioning before about the technology and a person who knows about this stuff. Dr. Stephen Greer has been disclosing. Does his name sound familiar?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've heard a lot of him. You know, I've also heard some other things about him most recently by people who I have a lot of faith in also. So I'm kind of stuck between things. But I'm not sure how solid he really is. He does appear to be solid. He's an educated person, and he makes a lot of sense. And but he does say some wild things, and can't say that it's not true or not, because I don't know. So I don't know. But what did you want to say about it?
Oh, well, his disclosure project.
Uh-huh.
Let me find the site, because I just had it up. There's a trailer for The Lost Century. It's a trailer for The Lost Century. There's a Lost Century documentary or something in it.
L-A-W saying, or Lost? What are you saying?
L-O-S-T.
Okay. And how would I find it? What am I going to look for? Or website?
Let's see. His
trailer
site, it's on his site. I had it. I don't know what I did with it.
Said trailer for something or other. What was the trailer for?
The Lost Century. LOST Century. CENTURY. And I was playing it, and they're in it.
CENTURY, right?
Yes. CENTURY.
Right there.
But he has a disclosure project website, and gets into, because they've reverse engineered some technologies that were discovered.
We don't really know what that is, you know, and maybe the government or people within our government know, but they're not telling us. We don't know.
That's what he's talking about. He was saying that within the next 30 days, the black ops, the leadership who've been running these, who are involved in these black ops sites, like the current leaders are really tired of what they've witnessed and all the information. He said there's like millions upon millions upon millions of pages of receipts and facts of the experiments that have been performed, the technology that's been reverse engineered. And he even talks about free energy and this item that you could just put on your, like something that you could put on a table and it will run everything in your home.
I've heard of some things with that kind of a technology from a couple of different sources.
And it looks like something out of, you know, when you watch Iron Man, he has the energy generator that is over his chest. It kind of looks like that, that blue glow to it. So it's just, I'm fascinated by it. I do believe that Tesla had created a free energy, because you guys were even in
no doubt about it in my mind either. There's so many different sources and it comes from so many different places. I heard about this with water when I was a kid. Okay, I heard about this thing with water. And so it's been around for a long time. And again, it makes sense because water is hydrogen and oxygen.
Yeah, because the guy with the one with the water, who was running his car on water, and they met with him to talk about it.
Yeah,
and
that's the guy that revealed all of the things with the UFOs, and he worked back engineering them. I'm trying to think of his name.
Oh, that's Stephen Greer. That's a different...
That's not the guy. No, Stephen Greer is an emergency room doctor who's been working in this stuff now for about 20 years or so. But the guy I'm thinking about, he actually was working on these vehicles, and then he brought it out into the press, and there's a lot of documentaries that on this guy. Joe Rogan did 3 hours with him. It was really fascinating.
Oh, with the guy who with the water.
And his car runs on water, right? Nevada, I think it is.
Oh, so he's not the one who said his last words were, "They killed me. They murdered me.
That's someone else. That was a guy down south. That was another guy running a car in water. No, this guy was back engineering UFOs, some kind of alien ship from someplace. And look, they very well can be from here. I mean, I can think of a lot of different theories and ideas on where these things could come from, but who knows, you know? Who knows what God's doing anyway? You think we're the only thing he's doing? You think he hasn't been doing anything else from eternity past? We are the only place where sons of God are born. You know, the prerequisite in order to become a son of God is you first must become a son of man. The Bible is clear about that. We have to know the knowledge of good and evil. It's all about the separation of light from darkness. You know, what would heaven be like if we didn't make that separation? Well, what kind of a place would heaven be? You know, the separation of light and darkness. So,
well, you can only appreciate the light.
Exactly.
If you've been in seeing the dark, yeah, right. Contrast.
Right.
Yeah. I do believe that. I think this whole thing with the free energy generator is something that, like, the energy companies have been moving towards. The alternative energy and all this ridiculousness, and they want us to be reliant. Like even with solar energy, you're still, want everybody on the grid. And it's a control thing, you know, to have everybody on the grid. But this personal, if you have a personal home generator, there's no need for the grid. And it takes away their power and their ability to collect data and so on. So they're trying to find other ways to collect data. And I do believe that's what the drones are about.
Yeah, these people have put this stuff out there for people, and I've got a copy of stuff that I purchased, and it was very cheap, $30 or something, and I get quite a few books on free energy, but I just haven't had the time to, go and build one of these things to see how it might work and if it did work. I did one on my car years ago, and one of the problems was the computers have a problem because the water is, hold on a minute, the water, when you do it on the car, the water is cool, and I guess when you put the vapor from the water into your engine, which only saves on energy, it doesn't give you, you still have to have gasoline in there, at least for the thing that I was doing, the problem was that there was a cool down on the exhaust, a little bit of a cooling, and that caused problems in the computer system. And the computer, you start to get better mileage, and then not long after, all of a sudden, your computer resets it, and you lose that extra mileage that you will get. But the computers are a problem. You'd have to rewrite a program for your computer to operate just putting the vapor in there from the water. Putting an electrical current and breaking that up, and that vapor coming out is hydrogen, and it goes in instead of air. It mixes with the air, and it's more powerful, and you save on mileage, gas mileage. But you can, there is a system, and the guy I was thinking of, his name is Bob Lazar. He's the one that broke the news in late 80s, early 90s concerning back engineering of these ships that have, you know, crashed. And he's been driving a car since the 80s and maybe even before, well, probably in the 80s, late 80s. He's been driving a car on water since then, and he still drives one on water, water alone.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
He's just not out there selling it, so I guess they're not killing him, trying to push him.
Right, exactly, as long as they don't try to commercialize it, yeah.
That's the problem. But it's coming out. I think Musk is working on it. China is working on it. And probably other places working on it, too.
Yeah, well, I know they're trying to get us off the grid, which is what we need. We need to get off this grid.
Absolutely. We need free energy.
Control grid is...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Weatherbug, if you look up Weatherbug, it's actually an advertising agency in New York.
Weatherbug? What's that?
Weatherbug is the weather app.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's doing is it's spying on you. It's just collecting data. It uses, like, once it's on your phone, it's basically accessing all your information and sharing it. And you're like, oh, wow, I get weather reports. Meanwhile, it's stealing your data and selling it to third parties for advertising.
It must be an app then.
Yeah, it's all these apps on, you know, the apps that are on our phones are basically advertising.
The apps are on your phone, not mine.
I said, what?
I don't have a smartphone.
Ah, good for you.
I have computers, so I don't need a smartphone. Computers are much better. You know, desktops and laptops.
Yes.
So. All right, well, we're about the end. Do you have any final words? Because we're about to close down. We've got a minute left.
Well, no, thank you very much.
Okay, appreciate the call. Okay, we're going to end this for the evening. Good night, everyone, and Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Next Monday, I think, is the last meeting before Christmas, and but we'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.